Господи, Васудевая,
when Power turn the daughter Eli into a boy os nemos sota de.
Now this not sota de, sorry, sutiamo. So many different names, my word. Do you remember? Sudhirna. Sudhirna. So now this Sudhirna, with many of his mates, he was going to a forest. He didn't know that this forest is a forbidden place for him to enter. And there is a nice pastime why it was forbidden for any male to enter there, which he was not aware of. Is that once Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva, and some great sages came to see Lord Shiva. And when they appeared there, Mother Parvati became very embarrassed because she was naked, she was not wearing anything, and she had to cover her body. And became very ashamed. She became very shameful that, oh, she was in such a situation. And the sages immediately left to see Narayana and Rishi. Because Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva were in that position. So then immediately Lord Shiva, understanding her heart and she becoming very upset about the whole thing, he promised her that from now on, in this whole area, no male can enter. And if anybody forcefully tries to enter this area, they will turn into female. So that was the boon which is spoken about in this verse 15, which Mother Parvati had, and or a curse, I would say, whatever, to make that boon or curse. But she had a boon, and whoever enters, it's a curse, basically. So then Lord Shiva Mother Parvati could freely move around in this forest without any shame. Mother Parvati was not feeling very ashamed about the whole thing. So this Sudhirna, he entered with all his friends in that area, not knowing. And he's not a son of an ordinary king. He's son of Vayasudamanu. This is Sardadev, who is a very powerful personality. So now again he turns into a female along with all his mates. This Sudhirna turns into a woman along with all his friends. Everyone is a woman. They wondering, you know, what happened. Fully changed body, top to bottom. And they all became very morose. Then again, the whole thing came back to the king, and again they had to plead to Lord Shiva. Then again they got the blessings. Okay, 1 month male, 1 month female, and this is a long past, and that goes on in 9th canto. But that is the pastime that is referred here, which to please Mother Parvati, Lord Shiva gave that benediction to her, which will be spoken later in verse 9, now chapter 9. So we see in the following verse, we hear nice glorification of Lord Shiva, where his position is very clearly established as servant of Lord Sandarshan. For many devotees who come from general pious Hindu background, certain confusions are always there in mind, that how should they treat Lord Shiva? What is their approach towards worship of Lord Shiva? And it's a very common question asked among devotees, what to do when for many devotees, they very easily accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. But one mistake some devotees do also can come comment, which is while they accept Lord Shiva as a devata and Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, some devotees end up offending him also as just a mere devata and giving no regards. There's a nice pastime where during Srila Prabhupada's time, His Holiness Navayoganda Maharaj, he came and asked Prabhupada. And he came and asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I was walking with few devotees, several devotees, and there happened to be a Shiva temple there. And I just offered my respects to Lord Shiva. And all the devotees started telling me, no, you should not do that, you should not do that. Why you did that? This is a very new, these are new bhaktas. Many of them doesn't understand the background, the whole science of the culture. And he was confused. Now he was confused, so he came and asked Prabhupada, what should I do? What should I have done? Prabhupada said, you did the right thing. You did the right thing by paying your obeisances to Lord Shiva. Vaishnava Nam Yathashambhu is the supreme topmost Vaishnava, and it is our duty to offer him all respects. So never disrespect him. In another place I heard, it says that anyone who even dares disrespects Lord Shiva, or any of the devatas forfeited pure devotional service is going to come to them. Pure devotional service is never going to be achieved by some people, by these devotees, so-called devotees, who out of their own ego or superiority complex, they offend Lord Shiva. So in any case, never this mistake should be done, where Lord Shiva should be disregarded or his worship should be disregarded. But yes, devotees are very clear, they understand that who is the Supreme Personality of God, who is the source of Lord Shiva also. And they understand very clearly who Lord Shiva himself is worshipping. So very clear, Prabhupada made it very clear that there is no harm in paying respect to Lord Shiva. And then Prabhupada explained Maharaj that he can remove false ego from the hearts of devotees. So there is no harm in worshipping him or paying your respects. Good Mahaprabhu is not there, you would ask how Lord Shiva removes false ego. I was expecting it to come from that, but it didn't come. I have prepared my answer. Prabhu did not saw that. So very important to know the position of Lord Shiva very clearly. So amongst many roles which Lord Shiva plays, one of the roles is of a devata he plays in God. And that particular role he plays, in which he has to play the part of a destroyer. In which he does his tanda nritya, he does his dance for annihilation. And when he dances, the whole cosmos, whole creation basically crumbles down. But another role Lord Shiva plays is as a creator. Brahma as a creator we have heard. Vishnu as a primary creator we have also heard. Brahma as secondary creator also we have heard. But if carefully you observe how creation takes place, Lord Shiva plays a very important role in creation. That's why he is also sometimes referred to as a creator. Then when Lord Vishnu, Tathagata Vishnu, Mahavishnu, glances over Pradhan, the elements, material elements, that glass, including all the living entities and time itself, is carried by Shambhu. So that Lord Shiva comes in direct contact with material nature. Lord Vishnu never comes in contact with material nature. So Lord Shiva does that on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So that's why he plays a very direct role in creation. Because he takes all the living entities and he permits them to material creation. And that is symbolized by Shivling, basically, which is worship. That the creation that takes place when the union of Lord Shiva and material nature, that happens. And that agitates Pradhan, which turns into Mahatattva when that further creation begins. Where living entities are entered into the creation, and then Brahmaji enters, and then further he starts to create different sages, different demigods, different planetary systems that come in place. So he plays a very important role in creation. So when we say just by meditation, a person cannot become Narayana, just by holding a dhanda and taking sannyas, a human can become Narayana. When we say that is bogus, that cannot happen. A mere jiva can never become Narayana by any method, any process of meditation. Similarly, a mere jiva can never become Sadashiva. Position of Lord Shiva can never be achieved. I think sometimes before someone was speaking about how Brahma's position is achieved. I don't know who was telling that 100 lifetimes of Keshaku, yes. 100 lifetimes of pure Varnashram Dharma, and that is followed very strictly, then one is eligible to attain the position of Lord Brahma. 100 lifetimes of Varnashram system, completely, fully practiced with all purity, which is anyways next to impossible to even think of. Then when 100 times you become Brahma, like that, then you can become Rudra, which is not Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, there are 11 Rudras are there. You still cannot become Sadashiva, which is in the spiritual world. That is, you can just become one Rudra after 100 times becoming Brahma. And one Brahma is 100 times practicing Varnashram Dharma. So it's a very, very rare position. It's exactly like trying to calculate on paper, you know, you start writing zeros when one day of Brahma, then lifetime of Brahma, and then that Rishi who had this many hairs on his body, and he will die when all the hairs will fall apart, and then one hair falls apart when one Brahma finishes. So how many zeros, how much calculation is required? It's that difficult. To even think, comprehend how to become Buddha. Very difficult. So that's why this is a very unique tattva, very unique position of Lord Shiva. And that's why it cannot be taken cheaply or disregarded. So Lord Shiva is neither a jiva, a living entity, and he is not as superior as Lord Vishnu also. He is not Vishnu Tattva also. So he is in between, but when we say in between, that is still towards Vishnu Tattva, not towards jiva. So he is still towards Vishnu category, even though he is not in Vishnu category. Because just for the purpose of a very famous verse from Rama Samhita, we hear all the time, Sri Ramiliti, Tati Vikara, Vishesha Yoga. How just for the purpose of coming in contact with material nature, that same Supreme Lord just brings in some transformation in himself, and that's the transformed form is of Lord Shiva. So, but very interesting point that comes from that verse, which is not in the verse, but we understand from the Acharya, that milk, when you add some bacteria, some type of bacteria, that transforms into yogurt. And that is the example given to compare Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. That Lord Vishnu is that milk in which you add some bacteria and that turns into Lord Shiva for the purpose of creation. So we can always, we understand that Lord Vishnu can anytime transform into Lord Shiva. Milk can anytime be transformed into yogurt, but you cannot make yogurt back to milk. It's not possible. It will not happen. Why? Because one is a superior position. So this distinction has to be very clear. Now this confusion should not be there. But if you see the principle wise, they're both same. But if you see usage wise, it's very different. So many different elements are also not matching. So this is why Shiva Tattva is very superior tattva. In one occasion, Srila Prabhupada said that Guru Tattva is very similar to Shiva Tattva. Why? Because the duty of Lord Shiva is to bring back all the fallen conditioned souls back to Hari, back to Krishna. And the duty of the spiritual master is also the same. Is to just basically bring back all the lost fallen conditioned souls back to the Supreme Lord. And this is what like Bhajan Dvija Prabhu was doing before. Narottama Das Thakur was saying that you, even by mistake, if you offend the Supreme Lord, we can be relieved by chanting the holy names. But if you offend a devotee, a Vaishnava, there is no solution. And just by coming in contact with the devotee, the purification that takes place is much more than by taking bath in Ganga again. So very, very, very important to understand that. We see Bhagavan, this very popular question that is asked by Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami, about specifically talking about Lord Shiva. He says that what makes the devotees of Lord Shiva so rich and opulent, and devotees of Lord Vishnu or Krishna paupers, very poor. And Sukadeva Goswami explains that one of the key reasons he explains is he says many things, but one thing he says is first and foremost that devotees of Lord Vishnu are not approaching Vishnu for material benefits. And even if they are approaching for material benefits, their heart is transformed immediately, and those desires are not very prominent in their heart. But those who are in genuine way approaching the Supreme Lord Vishnu, they are not asking material benefits like Sudama and we see other Prahlad. But we have some example of Guru Maharaj who did worship the Supreme Lord for some material gains, but they were transformed and they were least interested in those material gains. But he says, whereas the devotees of Lord Shiva mean majority, most in most of the cases, they worship Lord Shiva for material benefits and nothing else. And you see so many asuras, so many demons, they worship Lord Shiva for material gains. Ravana was a classic example. Can you imagine the devotion of Ravana for Lord Shiva? That his devotion was so much that he offered his head 10 times just to please Lord Shiva. But what was he asking for? He was asking to become the most powerful person on the planet or in the universe. To basically defeat all the devatas, to gain all the, to gain so much supremacy. So this is one of the clear defects there between worshippers of Lord Shiva. Then every year he is Ashutosh, very easily pleased. So worship him with a very clear motive, clear goal, that is to gain some good material benefits. So Sukadeva Swami mentioned, you know, you see Lord Shiva himself, because he is devotee of Hari, he is devotee of Vishnu, he himself is a poor condition. So what to speak of the other devotees of Vishnu? Naturally they will be in poor condition, because they are not interested in that. This is how Lord Shiva is. He is least attached to anything material. He is a yogi wish. Adi yogi. So, there is a very nice pastime. Hearing in the Mongolian book lecture, he is mentioning that when Mother Parvati once approached Lord Shiva, saying that it's enough now, you know, better we have also our house to live in, our place to live in. And we have spent enough time just on being on a mountain, on Kailash, with no facilities to enjoy. And understanding Mother Parvati's heart that we have two children now, Lord Shiva created a palace floating in the sky, huge mansion, huge palace. And there was time for the approach, housewarming ceremony. And many Brahmanas were called to do all the rituals and beautify the place. And they were performing all the rituals, and Lord Shiva was granting them donations. So whatever Rama was asking, he was giving them. So now he is so magnanimous, he's so generous. So after all the Brahmanas asked what they wanted and they left. So last Brahmana was there and he asked Lord Shiva, "I really like your house. Can I get that?" So he came for a ceremony. For the housewarming ceremony, imagine, you know, many devotees will call us also, come for some housewarming ceremony, and we ask for housewarming. So the character of Lord Shiva was that he gave the house, and he said, "Okay, Parvati, let's go back to Himalaya." Sometimes people come and they give their car key, they say, "Can you put it on the altar?" And I purposefully tell them this to do all the time, that thank you for the donation. And immediately when there is a sense of fear you can see in the eyes. No, it's just for blessing. It's just for blessing. People come and can you do Kaar Puja? I have to tell them every time, first of all, Puja is only of the Supreme Lord. We don't worship cars. There is no concept of Kaar Puja. We don't worship Kaar. We worship the Supreme Lord. And we ask for His blessing so that we can have safe car driving. One time I saw him working on course, he took the car key and he was trying to put it in one day. He knew it was not covered, he was trying. So it's similar, you know, you go to someone's house and they're invited you and you say, "Okay, can I reside here, please go." But Lord Shiva was so magnanimous, he is so magnanimous that he gave that palace he created for Mother Parvati. And again he lived the life of God. Yogi, so very great personality. We hear in Bhagavatam very important pastime where Lord Shiva, when very difficult tasks are given, he is chosen. Lord Shiva is chosen. And a very famous pastime we hear is drinking the halal poison. For many people, when they see the photo, they think it's a handful of poison which Lord Shiva drinks. But actually it's a ocean of poison which he concentrates, reduces, and he drinks that halal poison. So practically he drank a whole ocean of poison. And which is of course misquoted many times. And a lot of intoxication and drugs are taken by the devotees of Lord Shiva in the name of comparing the halal poison. So we see many difficult tasks are given to Lord Shiva. Many difficult tasks are given to Lord Shiva. Another very difficult task which actually disturbed Lord Shiva. Halal poison did not disturb him. You know, halal poison, he was asked to drink, he just happily went and he just swallowed the whole poison. He was given another difficult task to carry Mother Ganga, which we were just reading a few verses before, and he just accepted and he carried Mother Ganga, which had power to destroy the whole planet, in just his hairs. And then just very little water he started to release for the benefit, for the purpose Mother Ganga came down. But a task was given to Lord Shiva which made him disturbed. And in these tasks where his heroism was shown, to drink the poison, to hold Mother Ganga, to do such and such speech, kill this demon, that demon, whatever, it was just a matter of him showing his Shakti. Now, one task the Supreme Lord gave to Lord Shiva, which in one sense broke his heart, but understanding the need and mood of Lord Vishnu, he accepted. And that was the task where he had to defame, basically talk opposite to the teachings of the Vedas. And he had to speak against the form of the Lord. He had to speak against the qualities of the Lord. He had to preach completely and teach completely something which is making people go away from the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, it will bring people closer to the Supreme Lord, to the teaching itself. And that was the task Lord Shiva was given, that you go as Shankaracharya and preach this philosophy where you will systematically establish that how God is Maya. How we see God is Maya. So basically Maya of philosophy is that when that Ramajyoti, that completely spiritual pure Ramajyoti comes in contact with modes, that is the form of Supreme Lord. This which we call Supreme Devan form. That is the form of Krishna, Ram, other avatars. When Ramajyoti comes in contact with Sarvagun, that form is Ram, Krishna, these different avatars we see. And when that further deteriorates, then it takes the form of Jiva, living entities. And then that Jiva revives his own consciousness, its own pure consciousness, then again it becomes Brahman. So this is a Mahayana philosophy. It's a very nice word that comes in Padma Puran. Chaitanya Charitamrita quotes that, proper quotes in the purport. Says, this is the instruction given to Lord Shiva by Vishnu. He says, Maya Vada Asat Shastram, Prichanam Bodham Uchate. Maya eva kalpita devika brahmana rupina. This is the Mayavada philosophy. And this Lord Shiva was informed, was actually speaking to his mother Parvati. You know, when we were in Shiva, we went up to someone. We saw a drama also the other day. The devotees in Bombay, they did that. There are a couple of devotees participated. Elvan Shiva and Madhavi played the role of Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati in that way. Madhavacharya's appearance was shown in the drama. So it begins with the same that Lord Shiva is quoting from heaven, that Lord Shiva is very disturbed. Lord Shiva is very, very disturbed and he speaks to Mother Parvati about his disturbance. Other places we don't hear that Lord Shiva is going speaking to Mother Parvati that, oh, God has asked me, Krishna has asked me to drink poison. What should I do? Suggest something. What excuse can I give? Or now Ganga has to come. Is it okay for you to meet Ganga in my head? No, there is no discussion mentioned. But hey, Lord Shiva expresses his heart to Mother Parvati. That much, like he was disturbed by the whole thing. But the understanding of the superior desire of the Lord, he performed it with perfection. So, it says that this Mayavada philosophy is impious. It's covered Buddhism. My dear Parvati, in Kali Yuga, I assume the form of Brahmana and teach this imagined Mayavada philosophy in order to cheat the atheist. I describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be without form and without qualities. Similarly, in explaining Vedanta, I describe the same Mayavada philosophy in order to mislead the entire population towards atheism by denying the personal form of the Lord. That's a very amazing verse. Devotees should know this verse. May not memorize it, but at least we should know that how this Mayavada philosophy is a very systematic propagation if you see how the history has progressed, we have heard quite a few times that after Krishna left the planet, how his teachings were covered over. And then with the help of King Ashoka, who was the Samrat, who was the ruler of the planet that time, Lord Buddha's teachings became very prominent. And Lord Buddha came for a specific purpose, because of stopping animal slaughter that was happening in the name of Vedas. So it's a very systematic progression that has happened in the history. How degradation took place and how Supreme Lord re-established Sambhavami Vedi. I come in every religion whenever there is a decline in religion. So either the Supreme Lord himself comes or he sends his representatives to revive back again the real dharma. And this is what happened when animal slaughter started. Buddha came, Lord Buddha himself came. When Lord Buddha became very prominent and stopped animal slaughter, Shankaracharya came. And Shankaracharya was so powerful, because he is not sure himself, that he pushed Buddhism out completely of India to the borders. He was so powerful that he created four different mathas in four different locations of India, that Buddhism could not even enter. And it's not a border that is created, a wall that is created between Mexico and America, no one can enter. It's not a wall. It's a philosophical presentation he did where Buddhism could not enter India because they were defeated by the power of Shankaracharya's presentation. And when Shankaracharya re-established the Vedas, which Lord Buddha had completely removed in order to stop animal killing, then immediately one after another many Vaishnava saints started coming. All these powerful personalities came, Mahanandana Puri, Ishwar Puri, Lord Chaitanya, and the whole Parampara came later. Because Vedas are now back again amongst people. So very systematically done. This description, this comes in Padma Purana, where Lord Shiva is speaking to Mother Parvati. But in Shiva Purana, another description comes, a similar description comes with Lord Shiva is giving to Lord Vishnu is giving to Lord Shiva, where he says, Dvaparada Yuge Bhutva Kalaya Manusadhisu Swagumahe Kalpita Swan Chayanan Mad Vimukhan Guru. He is saying, in Kali Yuga, mislead the people in general by propounding imaginary meanings for the Vedas to be better than. This is Lord Shiva is instructed. So many people they say that in Shiva Purana, Lord Shiva's position is very clearly established that he is a supreme person. To a degree that he blesses Lord Vishnu, he gives him to darshan chakra. And how can Shiva Purana belong? Because it's Purana. It's a Vedic text. It can't belong. So then how to understand this whole thing? So two points which I want to mention, which makes it very clear for us to work on this contradiction. Which we see that Vishnu Purana glorifies Lord Vishnu as supreme. Bhagavad Purana glorifies Lord Vishnu, Krishna as supreme. Whereas Shiva Purana speaks the other way. Why is that? And Jiva Swami solves this contradiction for us. And he quotes and he says that amongst the 14 Manmantras, one Manmantara is a Tamasi Manmantara. That in that only one Manmantara, Lord Shiva is granted the position of supreme. That everything will happen keeping him the supreme personality of Guru. And Shiva Purana basically is quoting that particular Leela that is happening in that one mantra. That is also by the instruction of the Supreme Lord and desire of the Supreme Lord, but that one mantra is quoted and very much in Shiva Purana mentioned. Another very important way to understand this contradiction, which comes in Sandha Purana, which is of course one of the another Tamasi Purana, one of the Purana world of ignorance, is that the instruction comes that if in any of these Puranas, especially one in the lower mode and one in the higher mode, one is Shiva Purana and one is Vishnu Purana, if any contradiction comes in essence, in Tattva, then always, this is Lord Shiva telling to Kartikeya himself. This is Lord Shiva's instructions to Kartikeya. If you see any contradiction in the teachings of a Purana which is in the lower world and one is in the higher world, always consider Vishnu Purana to be supreme or superior. This is Lord Shiva himself telling Kartikeya. Why? Because the Purana in the higher world are always superior. Their position and their instructions should always be considered superior if there is a contradiction. Why? Because there are very clear purposes where Shiva Purana gives certain instructions. And you know, how we see that there are contradictions in society where different religions are in place, and people question, what type of God is he? If God is one, why did he create so many religions? Why so much contradiction? This religion, that religion, Hinduism is there, Christianity is there, Islam is there, Buddhism is there. And people are fighting over those religions. Because people don't understand the compassionate heart of the Lord. Once people appreciate how compassionate the Supreme Lord, they will start to appreciate the different religions in existing. Different religions are actually, first of all, not different religions. We humans have made these distinctions and we're fighting over it. But these differences are basically nothing but how the Supreme Lord has been so compassionate that he either himself or through his powerful agents or through his powerful messengers has given different teachings at different times in different circumstances to a certain audience just to elevate them for the same purpose, to take them to the same God. So we see this distinction if we see, you know, different times, different places where teachings of Bible were given, teachings of Islam are given, and we see Bhagavad Gita's teaching is also given in a certain context to a certain audience. So if we try to compare and then fight over it, we completely lose sight of the very compassionate heart of the Supreme Lord. And it's a very important point to know. And that's where the same compassion of the Supreme Lord appears in the Vedic texts also, where in different Vedas, he is trying to bring people, elevate people to a higher level of consciousness by giving different instructions in the Vedas also. To a degree that 97 to 98% of the Vedas doesn't even talk about pure devotion service. It doesn't even speak about pure devotion at all. It just speaks about how to be happy materially in this life and get a better material facility in this life by going to higher destinations, heavenly planets. So this has to be understood very clearly that it's a very merciful, compassionate heart of the Supreme Lord, why such differences are there. And it should be appreciated in that way. Then we don't fight over it. So these are some of the things I just wanted to discuss from this purport and the verse. Is there any question or comment or point for discussion?
Not a message to ask you this question.
What is that person?
Teaching, we try to bring conditioned souls and contact with spiritual masters or senior devotees because the association will purify these people. We are preaching for, we are preaching to. If ordinary people can thus be purified so quickly and easily by the association of great devotees or spiritual masters. But why is those demons who worship Lord Shiva didn't advance their Krishna consciousness?
Yes. So, it's a good question. One thing is very important to understand that Dhruva Maharaj approached, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped Vishnu to gain something material. But the two things were happening simultaneously. First was that he showed extreme devotion to Vishnu, even though he had some material desire in his heart. Second was that he had blessings of another pure devotee, Narad Muni, which was very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. When we see those who are worshipping different devotees, especially Lord Shiva and all, even if they come in contact with Lord Shiva, it's not that purification doesn't take place. Purification do take place. But when you are approaching the personalities like Lord Shiva, and there is no tinge of a superior spiritual desire for devotion while worshipping Lord Shiva, and it's completely a business deal that you're trying to do with that person, forget about any purification on the if you want to equate it to people like Guru Maharaj. Why? Because bhakti, devotion, is an expression of the soul for the Supreme Lord. Devotion is an expression of the soul for the Supreme Lord. So, which is innate, which is completely within us. And that cannot be expressed to any devata because we are not part and parcel of any devata. We are part and parcel of Supreme Lord Krishna, or Krishna. So because we are part and parcel of Krishna, that's why when a child approaches the father with some bad desire, the father does not, first of all, worry too much about fulfilling the desire of the child. The father worries about why is he asking for such a desire. You know, for example, if we hear a very funny, for a simple way of understanding this is, we hear the example where a child has some money with him and the child approaches his father, can I receive it please? I'm paying you enough money, can I receive it? So for the father, the cost that is coming from cigarette is not very important. For the father, the concern is, how is he asking such thing? So let me fix that problem first. Let me fix why he is having such a desire. And then the father works on purifying the child. Whereas how the devatas work is, if someone approaches a demigod, then because you are capable of paying the cost of a commodity, then the demigod is obliged to give you what you are paying for. It's like, you know, you approach a shopkeeper on the street who may know you, and but because you are paying the price of a commodity, the shopkeeper is obliged to give you. That's why government has to put rules under it, because they know shopkeeper will steal certain things because they pay money for it. So with the devata, this is one concern, one issue. But when we see personalities like Lord Shiva, they go and associate with these people so that they can gradually become purified also. Whereas with the Supreme Lord, he acts as a father and he works very exclusively to purify the desire and the reason for someone desiring like that also. And that's one of the key differences between demigod and the Supreme Lord, which is like a father or a shopkeeper or an uncle, basically. So, and this is why when it comes to the Supreme Lord, he is predominated by affection, love, mamata for the living entity. Whereas other personalities are operating on the platform of what we can offer. Lord Shiva is also known as the Kaladarshi. He can see past, present, future. Can't he know that this demon is going to create such a havoc? This Rama. Why am I granting so much moves? Can't Lord Brahma understand that if Hiranyakashipu gets these moons, he is going to destroy practically the whole system in the nature? That he'll create, he'll force Mother Earth to basically give crops at a wrong time also, uncertain time also. He may give birth as a servant. Lord Brahma knows that this is what this demon is going to do. But Hiranyakashipu has done enough tapasya. And now it's his duty to reward him for his tapasya. Ravana has done enough tapasya. It's his duty of Lord Shiva to reward him what he has asked for. Dhruva also did tapasya. And Lord also came to award him. But as a father, he said, no, there is a problem here. It's not just the price he's paying, it's why is he asking like that? So let me fix that problem first. And then when the Dhruva was purified and he said, I don't want Sana Vilashi Tapaso Sitoham from Praptan Deva Munindra Guhyam. When I was Avinashya, I was just desiring for Sana, for peace of mind. I don't want Kacham Vichinna Kapididharatna Swami Pratapati Pratapati Varanayaya. Broken pieces of glasses, not in your spirit. Because I have diamond. What should we not do to Dhruva Maharaj? When he understood, he is purified. He said, anyways, you take this broken pieces of glasses, but now you will not be attached to this broken pieces of glasses. So this is a very clear distinction we see amongst the Supreme Lord and all the devatas, or even the personalities of Lord Shiva. And that's why even the Lord Shiva plays a very powerful role in the creation, but when he is, we can't compare his compassion to the Supreme Lord's compassion. There is no comparison. But yes, he goes to the most difficult places to somehow bring those souls, those problems, to higher platforms. Why? Because these personalities, they are not like these asuras asking for meditation. They just want to associate with Lord Shiva, and his association comes up over them, and they gradually live. So this is a certain distinction one has to understand. I hope that answers what you are asking.
Also, I heard that even Lord Shiva, I listened to a lecture where they said who worship Lord Shiva on that birth, after their next birth, they will born as a Vaishnava and worship Vishnu.
So the explanation is given that if someone is worshipping Lord Shiva exclusively for material benefits, Lord Shiva grants them the material benefits what they want. But if someone shows some devotion to Lord Shiva, then they get very good opportunities in future lives to become a devotee of Lord Vishnu. It's exactly like if you approach a police constable in front of a police commissioner and you tell the constable, oh my dear commissioner, can you get my son admission in the school? And the constable will say, my God, commissioner is standing next to me, they're calling me commissioner, police commissioner. Just take what you want, but get lost. Don't disturb. So this is the precarious condition of the person mentioned. They are called as Bhagavan. So this, you call me Bhagavan as all in all, everything. Take what you want, don't come away. But if someone approaches them with some devotion, that is the opportunity they use to grant them a chance to come devotee of Krishna. In this life also, it can be possible. But if someone is really very devoted to Lord Shiva, without any material motive, then that is a very fast process. That's why if you see Sadashiv Dham is divided into two parts. One is technically I think it's Mahakal, and then the other realm is where Sankarshan is worshipped. So in the lower realms they worship Lord Shiva. In the higher realms they worship Sankarshan, because they have genuine devotion. They are granted the opportunity to worship Sankarshan. Lord Sankarshan.
So some of the religions also do. True, even my real life. So 1988 to 2000, I worship Lord Shiva, Dakshinamurti, very intensely, doing a meditation every Thursday, for nothing. Because my friend wanted me to do it for his mother for five weeks. After that, I continued. Since I liked it, I started. But after I came here, first temple I came to Iskana, and I felt like Lord Shiva gave me a promotion to surrender to Lord Krishna.
Yes.
So I felt serious. That's what when I go back home, they ask me, still I worship Lord Shiva. I said, I do respect, but you give me a promotion to surrender to Krishna.
And it's interesting that those devotees who are generally promoted like that, they actually feel it. This is your fourth or fifth person speaking to who actually feels it like that. Therefore, this is Lord Shiva's blessing that I am worshipping Krishna now. So their confusion is not there. They are not very bewildered by the whole philosophy that why Shiva, why Krishna? I was worshipping Shiva all my life. Why suddenly Krishna? They can understand this progression. So, yeah. Thank you. Anything? Thank you.
What's the behavior to see wise? Sorry.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. My question is that what should be our prayers to Lord Shiva?
One very good prayer we can have for Lord Shiva is that which he specializes in, not wooden number, is that he removes false ego. We are holding on to this material world because of our false identity. we are trying to really hold on to this concept of body, and the enjoyment that comes through this body because of ahankar, false ego. So with his blessings, we can ask him for prayers. We can pray to him for his blessings that he can help us remove this false ego. But we don't have to exclusively go and just worship him to remove false ego, because pure devotional service does the same thing. Pure devotional service also removes false ego. Why? Because that's where Lord Shiva is also getting his potency from, to bless us to remove false ego. So for devotees, if they come across Lord Shiva, they can always pray to him to remove false ego. Every Vishnu Tirtha, there is a Shiva Tirtha also. There is a place of worship of Lord Shiva, and very prominent places are there. Chakleshwar Mahadev, Govardhan, Gopeshwar Mahadev, Vrindavan, Lingaraj Mahadev, Bhuvaneshwar, just on the borders of Jagannath Puri, and so many other places are there. So Lord Shiva, very eager to serve the devotees of the Lord, and you know, if we came in 10th canto also, Krishna Prabhupada very clearly writes that once upon a time, the Vrajavasis decided to worship Lord Shiva. And then Prabhupada says, that means that they were not every time following Shivaratri. Once upon a time, devotees in Vrindavan decided to follow Shivaratri. Prabhupada begins that chapter like that. So then he explains that means every Shivaratri devotees were not celebrating. They were not really exclusively going and worshipping Lord Shiva. But this time they decided, okay, let us practice that, that way, let us worship Lord Shiva and Shivaratri. So, if one comes to us, then why not take his blessings? So Gopeshwar Mahadev, he got the name because Gopis were really worshipping him, great Krishna. But we don't see Gopis as exclusive devotees of Shiva. Even though they were worshipping Lord Shiva, they were very clear in their agenda. In any business proposal, agenda has to be clear. So Gopis are very clear in their agenda that they want Krishna exclusively by this worship. By worship of Kakyan, they wanted Krishna exclusively. They were very clear. There was no white person feeling happening. Inside was it, some blessings will also come on Lord Shiva, some material gain will come. This is problem very devotees. The chanting 16 down everything they do, but what if so let us worship Lord Shiva, let us worship the Devi also. What if by chance Prabhupada is wrong somewhere? By chance. The chanting 16 rounds, Mama Aunty, she has full order to everything. So I asked her, why are you chanting 16 rounds? Why? She actually answered, what if?
Just in case,
really, what if? If anyone gets upset, so basically this can be a prayer to Lord Shiva. There's an Ashpasha and Gauravan Mara mentions to illustrate this point very clearly, how we hear Gauravarat was protected and Mother Kali herself burst out from the deity and killed the worshippers of Kali. Similarly, there was a Shiva Bhakta worshipping Shivling, and this was a Narsingadev Bhakta, devotee worshipping Narsingadev, and the Shiva Bhakta called him, come here, pay our respects to Shivling. He happily paid his respects and worshipped Shivling. He said, now very clearly, openly say, something in that. Very bold, very loudly you say that Vishnu and all the incarnations are coming from Shiva, and he is the source of Vishnu. He said, how can I say that? That's not correct. It's a false information. I cannot give. And he took his chopper out. He said, I'll kill you if you don't say that. He said, I cannot lie. Lord Shiva will not be pleased if I lie like that. He'll be more pleased if I worship him as servant of Vishnu instead of saying Vishnu is servant of Shiva. And because he was a devotee of Narsingadev, Shivling burst and Narsingadev appeared and killed the devotee of Shiva. They're as close, these tattvas are very close. Just further expanding into your questions, I have already answered that, I'm just going to be off track. In Bhuvaneshwar also, Lingaraj Mahadev is there, which is Shalimar and Lingaraj Shadev. So there are two pujaris simultaneously worshipping that deity. One is worshipping Shirdi with Shiva Mantra, and one is worshipping Krishna with Gopal Mantra. Because this Shaligram and Shirdi. So, amazing deity actually. In Vrindavan, there is another Shyam Sundar temple. Arjuna Vrindavan, so Manasi Maharaj asked, we just went to spend the same a day before Shivaratri. He said, okay, go next day to Gopeshwar Mahadev temple and take his darshan. And when Vrindavan going there, means very hard. So some of my father went and I didn't go. So I was really feeling, you know, I didn't follow Maharaj's instruction. Oh, I can't go and take darshan of Gopeshwar Mahadev. So then we were in Radha Shyam Sundar temple, and on Shivaratri day they had dressed Shyam Sundar as Shivji. They did not dress Shyam Sundar as Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Brahma, but they dressed Radha Shyam Sundar as Shiv Parvati. That closes the tattva because it's almost same. So just a point in front. Is that okay, Sujit?
Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, I would like to ask, thank you for the nice class. So,
Thank you. No, I don't. It's on, it's on.
So, I would like to ask, Prabhuji, that, like, when Brahma, when, like, people pray to Brahma and Shiva, why does it Brahma and Shiva, when they know that this is, like, they're asking for God, like, can I have this? Then why
did
they purify and then give them?
Yes, that's the whole discussion. That is, it appears that their duty is to just grant what people ask for if they can pay for it. Means if they have the name of the Tapasya or charity for that. So they just grant the moon based on how much Tapasya you have done. And this is where it differentiates between the source of the living entity, the Devatas, and the source of us, the Devata and Bhagavan, because the compassion of Supreme Lord is practically unlimitedly more than any Devata. So that's what I understand. Would you like something you were saying?
Thank you for the opportunity to study the next class. What should be our behavior towards the lights?
So, especially with those, when you are dealing with devotees of Lord Shiva, one thing please don't do is don't try and put Lord Shiva down in front of them. Because they have some attachment to Lord Shiva. If you are attached to your friend and I put him down, you feel bad about the sleep of someone whom you are worshipping. So, a preacher must be always very smart and strategic while giving Krishna consciousness to others. And one can always explain how they are very same, but for the purpose of creation, it's the Supreme Lord Himself who has transformed. Fight only happens when we say ours and yours. And that's where it makes a war between two people. When we are speaking to materialists, that time only we try to bridge gaps. Why not do the same? Why not follow the same principle when we are speaking to the devotees of Lord Shiva? So, a bridge or a gap is badly smashed when you immediately say, ours and yours. Our worship is better than your worship. Why? Because Lord Shiva is Tamuniyata. Vishnu is Satuni. Immediately you have created a big wall and you can't even jump over and see the person. He's gone. You've lost it in terms of preaching. So that can only happen, one can give this message properly only, it's only possible when there is compassion in preaching. Then, when our preaching has ego, that mind is right, we would have done the same thing if we were Shiva devotee, we would have smashed our Vishnu devotee also with the same mindset, giving all the different philosophies. Why? Because our goal was to establish something which I am worshipping. Why Vishnu worship is superior? Because I am worshipping Vishnu. Why my guru is superior? Because I am his disciple. Why my temple is best amongst all is strong? Because I live here. So, who is the center? I. So, similarly, when you are giving Krishna to someone, don't bring this problem in between. Then you see the other person has a big ear to hear from you. Because you're speaking on the platform of compassion, you're not speaking on the platform of ego where you want to establish your way, desire. So then you will not automatically understand by all these principles what we're discussing, how to present Krishna to that person who is shivering. Is that okay?
Yeah. Perfect, Prabhu. That's very nice. Because I come from Varanasi, Prabhu, so land of Siva, so. And I see all those things, and like during the Mahashivaratri, the big celebration there, and then devotees of Siva, they have palm.
That's one serious problem, you know. They drink palm, some type of intoxication, some smoking, they do children and all that.
It's just
such an unfortunate thing.
How I can dissuade them from this, like, is there any, like...
Especially don't talk to them when they have already done harm. They will not go.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, when harm is very difficult to understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
When they are harm, then gradually follow the same principle of what we discussed. Why will you listen to someone if they don't care about you? Why do you become a devotee? You became a devotee because someone cared for you to give you Krishna. Why anybody will follow anybody if they don't care about them?
Yeah.
You read Prabhupada's pastime and the amount of care he has shown and the amount of heart of devotees are putting just because the care Prabhupada is giving is amazing. Actually, we're shocked.
Yeah.
Just by reading such books, it's amazing how much devotees have decided that no matter what, I am giving my life for this person. Then whatever the philosophy may be, that is secondary, but I am giving my life for this person.
Mm-hmm.
So for preaching, friendship, care is before philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to build a bridge first. So that they can come to you.
A lot of them are my friends, childhood friends. So sometimes, you know, these things like I didn't try to interact, so that's why I call this person scheme, and I avoid talking to them about all these things because I myself is not sure. So that's, but I think that sometimes this topic broach up, then but your points are quite
you have kids? Right? You have kids?
Yeah, I have a son.
How old is he?
9 years.
Is does he go to tuition?
Yeah, he goes to.
Why you don't teach?
First, I don't have time. Second, I don't know how to teach.
Exactly. So when you don't know, take help.
Yeah.
Because everything you cannot do to our friends. So try and connect them with someone who can actually tell them about it.
Yeah.
So you basically act with a child going to a tuition. You are acting as a bridge between him and the teacher.
Yeah.
So there the bridge, financial bridge,
yeah,
and supportive bridge. Here the bridge will be a friendship between you, another qualified devotee, and your friend. So, if your goal is to give Krishna, you will basically find out all means to do it. If your goal is to tell him how better my philosophy is, nothing will work. Nothing will work. You try as much as you can, it will not work.
That's a very, very good point you are giving. And that's a big thing of obstacle now I can recognize.
Yes.
Thank you, Guru.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. And you said, whenever we see like in photos, like when we see like the Lord Vishnu at the top and then Brahma and Shiva like on the same level, then isn't Brahma like a material type of platform, because then he can be like replaced by people. So then, and Shiva is not, so then why they're on the same level if you see the photo?
Which photo are you talking about? I don't know.
It's not easy, like.
So basically, you're saying about Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, this,
yeah,
the three Murtis who are there for the purpose of relation, maintenance, and annihilation. Then, because they are acting for a very equal purpose, in that sense, where creation, maintenance, and destruction is taking place, they are shown as three Murti together. But that doesn't mean that Brahma is equal to Vishnu. Because Brahma is a jiva, a living entity. Whereas Lord Shiva and Vishnu are not. So the photo can be just a depiction. Sometimes yesterday only someone asked me, you know, how to put our order? I said, if you have a flat surface, then how will you put one above another? You can't do it. So be practical. Put Guru Parampara, then put Guru Nitya, Radha Krishna. They had Lord Shiva, Guru Devi, Sota. Then it's on equal level. But if you have platforms, then don't do this mistake of putting Krishna and Lord Shiva equal, because they are not. Guru and Krishna on the same level, because they are not. So be practical, because it's more of your consciousness than just how it physically appears. In your consciousness, you should be very clear who is who. Okay.
My question was, then when we see the photo, we show that the creation of that and the golden main creators, and so then I see only Vishnu on the top, so of course he's on the top, and then Brahma and Shiva, but they're not equal. So then, but why is not Shiva, Vishnu on the top?
Looks like the photo you're talking about maybe made by a devotee. Because they put Vishnu on the top. I don't know exactly what photo they are referring to, because in many photos they are saying equal. In many photos they are seen in one line where Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu is there. In many photos Vishnu is at the bottom. Because first creation happens. So they can, in many ways they can put it on the line. Vishnu in the center, Shiva in the bottom. So it can be either way. Photo is not very important. They can put any way we want. We have to understand who they are very clearly. Spiritual life is not too much of a play of how externals appear. It's more of what is inside. If inside is sorted, then externals can be okay. Hare Krishna. Grandhasya Bhagavatam ki jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Shiva ki jai.